I was joking yet halfway serious that I don't need to get up here. That song said it all in regards to the Easter lesson. And yet, I will continue on. And truly, really, that is the Jesus message. We are all the light of the world, not just Jesus. Jesus didn't come in here to embody the truth of himself as the Christ. Jesus didn't come here just to say, I am the King of the Jews, of which he was killed for. Meaning that in that, they took that to be that he is the Savior. What kind of heresy was he talking about? It's a heresy that wasn't heresy. The heresy is not believing, not understanding that not only Jesus, but each and every one of us are here to rise above the challenges of our lives, rise above this world and the inaccuracies of it, and rise into the truth of who we are. We are here to be the Christ. We are here to be the truth. We are here to be truly the sons and daughters of God, to embrace it, to actualize it, to manifest it here on earth. This is one of the reasons why Easter has always been my favorite, very favorite holiday. Yes, even over the gifts of Christmas. I couldn't say that when I was a kid, but now. Because the realization is, and even the Bible, when you read the gospel, it talked about Jesus as the man. And so we're looking at Jesus, who is the man, who is the man of God. He is God's man. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all embrace that? I mean, the truth is that we are all the people of God. But wouldn't it be nice for us to truly be able to embrace that? So when we walk down the street, they would say, oh, there's Gary. Oh, he's the man of God. Man. Yeah. There's Stephanie. She's the woman of God. Yes. I see Dottie. What did they call? What did you call her? The fabulous Dottie? Yeah. Our guest, Reverend Edith Washington Woods, the daughter of God. Yeah. I see Mr. Edward over there walking down, the son of God. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone recognized the truth of us? Wouldn't it be nice if we recognized the truth of our own self? For this is what we're here to do. This is the resurrecting aspect of what Easter is all about. It's saying, yes, I'm going to do this. Actually, would you be willing to play with me, some of you? You say yes now, but you don't know what I'm going to ask of you. All right. Sherry, shining bright, would you shine, please? Yes, you.
Yeah, what do you need me to do?
Trust. Please rise. Yes. Count yourself off as one. The next person I pick, count yourself off as two, please. And so on and so forth until we get to 12. Why not? Reverend Roger, Reverend John, 2, 3. Since Reverend Edith is pointing at her wife to get up, a coastal wife of Reverend Edith, please rise. 4, 5. Deborah, 6. I guess the one in the back here. Maya, 7. Gretchen, 8. Patrice, since you already rose, 9. Oh, Regina, 10. Samantha, 11. Nancy, you're smiling at me so nicely, 12. And I am 13. So I think you know on Easter what I'm getting at here. You got the mighty 12 and 13, right? So can you imagine? Look at all these beautiful people standing up here. And so, what Sherry says, beginning, what do you want me to do? What would happen if I asked you, all these beautiful 12, to release everything that you have, and I said, follow me? Give away everything Move away from your family and follow me. Your car. Cindy and Sherry and John just moved into a new house. Beautiful new house, by the way. Your new house. Your house, too. I know.
What about my shoes?
Oh. And your hats, too. How would you feel if you were the one standing up here and all was a peaceful person with a humble mission? And just like I picked these 12, some of you smiled at me. You picked yourselves. Jesus picked the disciples in the same way. These disciples didn't come going like, yeah, I'm going to hang with Jesus. Yes. Ed, except for Deborah, who's like, yeah, I want. YouTube, you're missing it. I wish we had a wider scan to see, because Deborah had some rhythm here. And yet, they gave up their lives. So some kind person in the 9 o'clock said, what do you want me to do? How about if I were to say that the 12 of us, me, the 13 of us, we're going to revolutionize the world? How would you feel about that? Follow me. I am going to teach you. I'm going to move you. And all together, we're going to set this world on fire with love, with forgiveness. We're going to do this, aren't we?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. Please sit down. Thank you. So know that just as the disciples were, yeah, we're going to do this. If you read the Bible, they were kind of like, what? Through most of it. If you read the Bible, you'll realize that even after Jesus was tried and arrested, people would say, aren't you followers of Jesus? And they go, oh, who, me? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Because they didn't really get it. Jesus tried to teach them, but they didn't get it. That it just wasn't Jesus. See, the Old Testament, the Bible, the Jewish Bible says that their Savior will come, just like King David, will be there to rescue them from all the trials and tribulations. And so who is this man who rides up on a donkey? Who is this man who comes in peace? Who is this man who is a brilliant man who is telling us what these scriptures are all about? This is not our Savior. This isn't the man that we've been waiting for. Blasphemous he is. And the disciples in some way, even though they thought they were the teacher, they knew he was the teacher, even though they kind of inside knew that they were the Christ, what they couldn't grasp, and what we're talking about today, the symbolism of the rising and resurrection, is that we are all it. Jesus came to them to teach them everything he knows. Everything. Not just a little bit, because Jesus was not that kind of man. He would go into prayer, he would go into his trance, and he would share it with everyone. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share ourselves with everyone. And so ultimately, the greatest gift that he could bring was to release and let go of his human self so that he can truly actualize, manifest the truth of himself as the resurrection. So I have some great news for you. As much as I talk about you owning your Christ itself, you do not have to die on the cross. Honestly, though, how many times a day do you crucify yourself, or is someone trying to crucify you? Am I touching somebody here? How many times a day have you crucified yourself by the things you say about yourself? I made a mistake, so I'm a horrible person. I'm this, I'm that. How can I be the Christ? That is what the disciples were all going through. I can't save anybody, only you. The one time that Jesus really, one of the times that Jesus really got mad at his disciples was when they were supposed to be healing people. And the villagers came to Jesus and said, hey, this is now, of course, Crystal's unabridged version. They said, hey, you need to come because your people aren't doing anything. They're supposed to be healing us, and they're not doing anything. And Jesus came back. He did some healings. He walked with his gang. He walked with his disciples, and he looked at them, and he said, I am not going to be here for much longer. You are with me 24/7. You have all of me. What can't you get? Well, we're going to get what they couldn't get, right? We're going to get the fact that we are here not to release just this physical body. We are here to cross out any of the negative feelings, cross out any of the challenges, cross out any of the things that are not the truth of us as the Christ. So me and my 12, how are we going to revitalize the world? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? We are here, all of us, as disciples, to change the way men and women think of themselves. In discipleship, that is what we do. That's what I'm talking about, changing the thoughts of yourself from some sort of lowly human humanity to the truth that each and every one of us are brilliant expressions, brilliant children of God. When you read the Bible, that's what Jesus was telling us all, that we are all it. As disciples, we are going to change the way we all think about God. No longer thinking of God as that man, bearded man up in the sky looking down on us, ready to wreak havoc on our lives. That was the gift of Jesus. Jesus showed that Jesus was a loving Father, Mother God. Well, unity with the mother. But Father, Mother God, Jesus was the one who taught in the Gospels the good news that we don't have to think of shielding ourselves and trying to do the best for God that we don't understand. Just be ourselves because God is everywhere present. God loves us. God will guide us through anything. Those are the things that we need to change in our discipleship about people. We're going to end feelings of separation. Separation for what or who? Our own separation from that which we cannot be separated from God. How many of us have, in disbelief, tried to believe that God is outside of us when the truth is God is everywhere present? And if God is everywhere present, where is God right now? Let's say that. Inside. From head to toe, every aspect of us. We need to get it. Jesus even said, I and the Father are one. God is within me. You are within me. We are all in with each other. We are all one. We're going to instill in people that they are one with God and with each other. And lastly, we're going to usher in a brand new era of forgiveness and love. Wouldn't it be nice to turn on the radio or the TV, look at the news, and it's all about great stuff, about light in the world, about love? See, really, that's what Jesus was all about, walking all over the place with his gang. It wasn't a gang to be feared. It's a people of healing and lifting up. So the task, I also know my disciples who are sitting down, because usually that's what the disciples did also. They sat down as they saw this. We only have 3 years to do this. That's what Jesus was given in his ministry, 3 years. But three is a magical, magical number. It's a triumphant number. We can do this. And so let's go to the story. The crucifix, as I have already said, Jesus was crucified. And the crucifixion metaphysically means crossing out of erroneous thinking. So what is erroneous thinking? Yell out to me some of the erroneous thoughts that we all deal with. Not enough. It's what?
Unworthy.
Unworthy. Yeah, that's a good one. A lot of us think unworthiness. Yes? Can't trust others.
Fear,
I'm going to die. What else?
I failed before.
I'm going to do it again.
I never get what I want.
I'm bad. Well, are you Michael Jackson? I'm bad. I know it. I almost did a hip rotation there. Thank you. I am bad.
I forgot it again.
I should have had a V8. I forgot it again.
I screwed up.
I'm fat. I'm old.
I'm fat. I'm old. I'm too young. I'm too thin. All the thoughts. We can keep going on. All those thoughts that are coming up, whether you've said them or not, whether they're rearing up, crucify them. Allow yourself to cross them out. And we're not talking about crucifying, hanging yourself up from some ill thought. We're saying crucify the thought. Not to damn you, but to be free, because the thoughts are there holding you back, holding you hostage. And the part of this, the great part of Easter Sunday, is that you rise. That you're not meant to be a lowly human. You're here to be a high human. A spiritual being is the truth of who each and every one of us are. And the symbol of Easter is that we are all here meant to rise above each and everything. And so as you're going through the day, and it isn't just this day, as you go through the weeks, the years, the rest of your life, anytime something comes up, cross it out and fill it with the Spirit of God, knowing that the truth of you is there. I'm going to read a little bit of the Bible. So after he died, I'm looking at John 19:38. After he was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body. Now, the fear of the Jews weren't of all the Jews. It were those people in power, all right? It was the law. It was the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the one who were in control of the people. That's who he was scared of. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, weighing about 100 pounds. Now, if you were with me for the burning bowl, you know that one of the symbols for myrrh is it is a form that symbolizes bitterness, suffering, and affliction. It is also used as an herb for embalming or for wrapping people in. Now, aloe, we know it as this miracle healing thing, and it is a healing plant. But the symbolism for aloe is also grief. So can you imagine symbolically 100 pounds of grief and 100 pounds of suffering and affliction that the death of their beloved teacher brought upon them? That is what everyone felt. That is what we feel when the truth, isn't it when we see the truth of something die down? When we think that the best thing that happened went away and we suffer. But the good news is that we don't have to completely do it. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices and linen cloth according to the burial custom of the Jewish people. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. In the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. It was because it was the Jewish day of preparation, the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So what does the tomb represent? The tomb represents all those places where the negative consciousness can finally lay to rest. But a beautiful thing happened. I'm not going to finish reading the Bible. A beautiful thing happened, though. Jesus was resurrected. When Mary came through, Mary Magdalene came through, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. Stone rolling away symbolizes a freedom to allow yourself to the spiritual freedom of you to rise, that you have now ascended the aspects that continue to hold you bondage. You have ascended from the components that of your falseness of the world, those things that you said about yourself, about being in fear, that you're too fat, you're too small, that you're this, you're that, and you cannot be satisfied with the truth that you, beloveds, each and every one of you, are the individualized expression of God. What does that mean? That you're beautiful. What does that mean? That you are perfect however you are, no matter what mistakes you have made. If you're the individualized expression of God, there is that that saying, God don't make junk. So you are the sons and daughters. We are the people who are beautiful, made in the image and likeness of God. How do we get rid of our tomb? How do we turn ourselves away from the tomb? There's three things that I want you to take hold of. These aren't necessarily metaphysical, but they can be. It's just logical. If you want to get yourself out of the tomb this morning and each and every day, first day represents, because there's 3 days for the resurrection, represents non-resistance and humility. It's getting to that point in your life when you say, I am tired of being tired. I'm sick of being sick. How many of us have said, I am so sick of being sick? I'm sick and tired of being tired and sick. I should see more hands because I think we all have said, I am just so tired of this aspect in life. I need help. I'm tired and I can use help. And who is the help I can get? Well, I've been going to my teacher. I've been going to the priest that would minister. I have been going to my love. I've been going to my enemy. I've been going everywhere else and they won't help me. So where do I go for help? To God within. To God. Where do we go?
God.
Yes. God within, God all around, to God. Second represents taking the divine activity and receiving the will of God. So once you have gone in and said, I am sick of being sick. I need some help. God, help me. Now what do? We receive it. So many times we go out in prayer and we go, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. How come God isn't giving me? We're not open to hearing and receiving the presence of God. And so we need to open ourselves up, take the divine activity, receive God's will. Not thy will be done. Pray, not thy will be done, but your will be done, God. Trusting that God's will of good is best for us. Because that's the old-time religion, thinking that God just wants to move us around with a 2x4. No matter what our life is, that God is kind of trying to hit us up, smack us around. We need to do what God needs to do. God is love. And so if we allow God's will, we will activate heaven here on earth. Because once we move forward in the knowledge, allow it, saying, God, use me. God, show me the way, and actualizing it into an activity, then we will move with purpose, no longer in the fear of what may be of this world, but in the truth, elevating ourselves, rising up beyond the challenges. Lastly, the assimilation, the fulfillment of God's will. It's kind of like the fifth principle in unity. All these things are great. You know, knowing God's good, knowing that we're good, there's prayer, law of mind action, but it doesn't work unless we do something with it. They're great words unless we actualize it. Take it in our hearts and do something with it. Become the truth of who we are. There's a story that I happened upon about a gentleman who went to his minister. And he said, you know, this hogwash about God within, I'm not with it. I really don't believe it. I'm really uncomfortable with it. And the priest said, why? He said, you know what, God, you know what, man or woman? I've done so many horrible things in my life. I was a really rampant alcoholic. And what I did to my family, what I did with people, you just can't. It was just really wrong. And so I cannot see how I or anyone else who was in my shoes could have God within them and do such horrible things. Well, that kind of stumped the minister a little bit. And the minister took this wine glass. It looked like a little glass. It wasn't like a bottle, but it was like a, can't think of the name of it. Like a decanter, thank you. But thank you for the chalice. He took this dark decanter, he showed it up to the man, you couldn't see through it, and he goes, what does this represent to you? He goes, I don't like it, this represents alcohol, this represents everything wrong I did. The minister poured it out, it was a white fluid that came out, and it was milk. And the man got it. Because even though in the outward appearance he was looking at his fear, truly inwardly was nutrients. Inwardly was something rich. Inwardly was something pure. We are all like that. We've made mistakes. But the truth of who we are is beautiful beyond measure if we accept it. We no longer have to suffer because of the mistakes that we've made. We need to release and let them go and allow God's will of good to move forward and through us. We need to model, grab hold, get rid of those things, say, yeah, let your will be done, and do it. Act in it. Allow me another pleasure. There's a story of Humpty Dumpty. I think we all, most of us know the story of Humpty Dumpty. So let's say that together. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not Humpty together again. That was a sad story until I read this one part of it. If you remember, Humpty was an egg, right? Humpty Dumpty was this egg on a wall. You know what I found out in the adult version of Humpty Dumpty? That on the other side of the wall, while Humpty Dumpty was cracked, he was poking out the egg. He was poking at his egg until it cracked open. And when the egg came up, came out Humpty in its fullness, in its transformed state. No longer just this egg, but now something that could spread its wings and fly. We are all transforming each and every day. We are no longer bound by the shell that we are in, for something within us is much greater. I say to you, allow yourself to be able to fall. Allow yourself to be able to release and let go of anything and everything that is not the truth of you, so that you will always experience the miracles of rising to the truth of who you are. May I have my 12 disciples stand up again? My disciples, are you still with me? Are you still following me?
Yes.
I would like you now to turn around to your people and say, we are here to rise.
We are here to rise.
Say it to someone else.
We are here to rise.
Mean it.
We are here to rise.
If you're feeling it from the congregation, say it back to the disciples.
We are here to rise.
Rise up. Speak to one another and say, we are here to rise.
We are here to rise.
Keep saying it. We are here to rise. Now, lastly, if you accept it, say, I am risen. And so it is. Amen. You may be seated. Last but not least, let us say our denial and affirmation for today. I release everything that seems to crucify me. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rise. Let that soak in for a little bit. I know the choir is anxious to get here. I heard one of the choir members say, I'm hungry. But let that soak in for a little bit. And let us say that one more time. I release everything that seems to crucify me. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rise. And so it is. Amen.